One day, after the creatures had gained intelligence, another race of intelligent people came to visit the moon, the first since the Khonsu, although the creatures did not remember the Khonsu. And these new people called themselves the Arza, and each of the Arza also had a name. And the Arza were amazed that the creatures on the moon, who were intelligent and who had built tools and cities, did not have a name, and did not have names for each of their number. And it was then the creatures discovered through the Arza what made them unique. They were the only people in all the universe who were not conscious. Although every creature could think and reason, it could not know itself as every other intelligent creature could know itself. The creatures lacked awareness of who they were as individuals, even as they lived and thrived and grew on the face of the moon of the planet. When the creatures learned this, and although no individual could know it felt this, there grew within the race of these creatures a hunger for that thing they did not have, for the consciousness that the creatures knew collectively they did not have as individuals. And this is when the creatures first gave themselves a name and called themselves Oban, which in their language meant the ones who lack, although it might be better translated as the deprived ones, or the ones without gifts. And although they named their race, they did not give names to each of their individual number. And the Arza took pity on the creatures, who now called themselves Oban, and revealed to them the machines that floated in the sky and that were put there by the Khonsu, who they knew to be a race of immense intelligence and unknowable aims. The Arza studied the Oban and discovered that their biology was unnatural, and so the Oban learned who had created them. And the Oban asked the Arza to take them to the Khonsu so they could ask why the Khonsu had done these things. But the Arza refused, saying the Khonsu met only with other races to fight them, and they feared what would happen to the Arza if they brought the Oban before the Khonsu. So it was the Oban determined they must learn to fight. And while the Oban did not fight the Arza, who had been kind to the Oban and took pity on them, and then left the Oban in peace, there came another race of creatures called the Belastir, who planned to colonize the moon on which the Oban lived and kill all the Oban because they would not live in peace with them. The Oban struggled with the Belastir, killing all those who landed on their moon, and in doing so found they had an advantage. Because the Oban did not know themselves, they were not afraid of death and had no fear where others had fear in abundance. The Oban killed the Belastir and learned from their weapons and technology. In time, the Oban left their own moon to colonize other moons and grow their numbers and make war on other races when those other races chose to make war on the Oban. And there came a day, after many years, when the Oban decided they were ready to meet the Khonsu and found where they lived and set out to meet them. Although the Oban were strong and determined, they did not know the power of the Khonsu, who brushed them aside, killing any Oban who dared to call or attack, and there were many thousands of these. Eventually, the Khonsu became curious about the creatures they had made and offered to answer three questions for the Oban if half the Oban everywhere would offer themselves up as a sacrifice to the Khonsu. And this was a hard bargain, because although no individual Oban would know its own death, such a sacrifice would wound the race, because by this time it had made many enemies among the intelligent races, and they would most certainly attack the Oban when they were weak. But the Oban had a hunger and needed answers, so one half of the Oban willingly offered themselves to the Khonsu, killing themselves in all manner of ways, wherever they were. And the Khonsu were satisfied and answered our three questions. Yes, they had given the Oban intelligence. Yes, they could have given the Oban consciousness, but did not, because they wanted to see what consciousless intelligence was like. No, they would not now give us consciousness, nor would they ever, nor would they allow us to ask again. And since that day, the Khonsu have not allowed the Oban to speak to them again. Each embassy to them since that day has been killed. The Oban spent many years fighting many races as it returned itself to its former strength, and in time it became known to other races that to fight with the Oban meant death, for the Oban would not relent or show mercy or pity or fear, because the Oban did not know these things themselves. And for a long time, this was the way of things. One day, a race known as the Ray attacked a human colony and its space station, killing all the humans they could. But before the Ray could complete their task, the Oban attacked them because the Oban wanted the colony world for themselves. The Ray were weakened after their first attack and were defeated and killed. The Oban took the colony and its space station, and because the space station was known as a scientific outpost, the Oban looked through its records to see what useful technology they could take. It was then that the Oban discovered that one of the human scientists, who was named Charles Booten, was working on a way to hold and store consciousness outside of the human body, in a machine based on technology the humans had stolen from the Khonsu. The work was not done, and the technology was not something the Oban at the space station could follow, nor the Oban scientists whom they had brought along. The Oban looked for Charles Booten among the human survivors of the space station attacks, but he was not to be found, and it was discovered that he was away from the station when it was attacked. But then the Oban learned that Charles Booten's daughter, Zoe, had been on the space station. The Oban took her from the station, and she alone was spared among the humans. And the Oban kept her, and kept her safe, and found a way to tell Charles Booten that she was alive, and offered to return her if he would give the Oban consciousness. But Charles Booten was angry, not at the Oban, but at the humans who he thought had let his daughter die, and demanded, in exchange for giving the Oban consciousness, that the Oban would make war on the humans and defeat them. The Oban could not do this themselves, but allied with two other races, the Ray, whom they had just attacked, and the Anisha, who were allies of the humans, to make war on the humans. Charles Booten was satisfied, and in time joined the Oban and his daughter, and worked to create consciousness for the Oban. Before he could finish his task, the humans learned of the alliance between the Oban and the Ray and the Anisha, and attacked. The alliance was broken, and the Anisha were made to war on the Ray by the humans. And Charles Booten was killed, and his daughter Zoe was taken from the Oban by the humans. And although no individual Oban could sense it, the entire nation despaired, because in agreeing to give them consciousness, Charles Booten was their friend among all friends, who would do for them what even the great Khonsu would not, give them awareness of themselves. When he died, their hope for themselves died. To lose his daughter, who was of him and who was dear to them because of him, compounded this despair. And then the humans sent a message to the Oban that they knew of Booten's work and offered to continue it in exchange for an alliance and the agreement by the Oban to war on the Anisha, who had allied with the Oban against the humans once the Anisha had defeated the Ray. The Oban agreed to this, but added the condition that once the Oban were given consciousness, that two of their number would be allowed to know Zoe Booten and to share that knowledge with all other Oban, because she was what remained of Charles Booten, their friend and their hero. And so it was that the Oban and the humans became allies. The Oban attacked and defeated the Anisha in due time, and the Oban, thousands of generations after their creation, were given consciousness by Charles Booten. And among their number, the Oban selected two, who would become companions and protectors to Zoe Booten and share her life with her new family. And when Zoe met them, she was not afraid because she had lived with the Oban before, and she gave the two of them names, Hickory and Dickory. And the two of them became the first Oban to have names. And they were glad, and they know they are glad, because of the gift Charles Booten gave them and all Oban. And they lived happily ever after.